Every moment, life absolutely swirls around you. Every moment. People are stars one minute, and they're waiting on you at the grocery store the next. I was in radio broadcasting for 35 years, absolutely loved radio. In fact, I came over here originally not only to plant a church, but to put a radio station on the air. The Lord had different plans. But how many have ever heard of one-hit wonders? 1968, Zager and Evans, in the year 2520. Anybody remember that song? You're all looking at me strange. Some of the older ones are going, I ain't never heard that song before. 1970, Edison Lighthouse, Love Grows Where My Rosemary Goes. Anybody? Come on. And then there's the Ohio Express, the greatest point of American history music called bubblegum music. Yummy, 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 I've got love in my tummy. Aren't you glad bubblegum music faded away? It got stuck under a bench in a park somewhere anyway. Bobby Pickett, One Hit Wonder, 1962, The Monster Mash. Come on. All right. And then, of course, there's the classic, the Americana Most Powerful Songs in History, 1968, One Hit Wonder, Iron Butterfly, Inagata DeVita. Now, you know the story, but I just have to share a moment of trivia. I was in radio, right? So, Inagata DeVita, do you understand the history behind that song? He was trying to sing, but he was too stoned and couldn't sing it. It was supposed to be in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, honey. And all he could get out was, Inagata DeVita. And so they said, okay, well, let's call it that. Became a big hit. And so, and some of you are looking at me like, I don't give a rip. I don't care. One hit wonders. And then there's 1977. You remember Debbie Boone. She's still around doing things, but You Light Up My Life. One hit wonder. She only had that one hit. Good songs can make memories. But what do they leave you with besides a memory? What will you leave that will outlive you? What will you leave that will outlive you? Think about it. Leave your legacy. Leave your legacy. And you go, come on, Kev. I'm not even a one-hit wonder. I didn't even come up with yummy, yummy, yummy. I got love in my tummy. Come on. Cambridge Dictionary defines legacy as something that is part of your history or that remains from an earlier time. And you go, I can't do anything. What can I do? Just ordinary men and women. What can I do? Watch. Would you grab the lights? Really boom it up the volume, please. Listen. Turn up real loud, please, Roxanne. Now turn the lights back on, please. 40 years ago yesterday, the miracle on ice took place when the U.S. hockey team, a bunch of amateurs, just went out, as they describe even the other day we saw on the news, just went out to play a game. Well, what did you think? What were your thoughts at that time? What were you trying to do? Just go out and play a hockey game. And for the first time, miraculously, they beat the Soviet Union. And they went on to win the Olympics, 1980 Olympics. That's called the World on Ice. And it was Al Michaels who said, do you believe in miracles? I thought you'd get more excited than that. I'm excited about it. Turn to each other. Come on, raise your hands and really get into it. Do you believe in miracles? So I ask you, do you believe in miracles? Hockey guys just went out to play a game. Well, Pastor Kev, I'm not writing songs. I'm not a hockey player. I'm nobody famous. Ah, but you leave a legacy every single day. You've got young eyes, old eyes watching you. You know, they say character is who you are when nobody's watching. Some of you look very convicted as I make that statement. You know, I used to counsel young people that were having real trouble getting out of certain kinds of problems, and I would ask them this question, not meanly. I loved them, but I loved them enough to say, well, let me ask you, if what you're doing, because it's not wrong. Oh, it's not wrong, I'm sure, but they feel full of guilt. And I would say, if it's so good, if Jesus knocked on your door right then, would you invite him in to join you? And they would go. But hopefully the question stayed with them, because Jesus is watching. But you've got all sorts of people coming right up behind you. Where are you walking? How are you walking? Where are you going? What are you doing? Now, can anybody be honest enough with me to say, sometimes I've really fouled up? Some of you look real quiet when I say that, like you don't want to tell us all. You don't have to look at anybody else. Just say it to me. Pastor Kev, I've really fouled up. But not as bad as you have, Pastor Kev. Not as bad as you have. But you know what kind of legacy we get to leave? The Redeemer. The one who's redeemed you and me. The one who comes and he says, I see you right where you are. And I picked you up, plucked you up, washed you off, given you my breath, my life, my Holy Spirit. I've given you a new life. I've given you something to walk. I've given you a brand new life of forgiveness and mercy. Now go give me away. And when it's time for you to pass off the scene, you leave a legacy of somebody who's been redeemed. Somebody who's been forgiven. Somebody who knows what it's like to know that Jesus Christ came and plucked you up from the garbage can right along with Pastor Kev. And we're given a new life. Oh, leave your legacy. You know, God uses unlikely people. Don't you know that? Noah was a drunkard. Abraham was an old dude. Moses, well, he was a stutterer. How can God use him? David was an adulterer and a murderer. Matthew was a tax collector. Now, that may not sound like anything to you today, but in Israel, that was the worst of the worst. How could God use him? Jonah, a man who ran from God. And I want to tell you a story about Rahab the harlot. What are you going to talk about in church? I'm going to talk about Rahab the harlot. You know what her name really sounds like? It's Ra'ob. Can you say that with me? In Hebrew, it's Ra'ob. Ra'ob. Ra'ob, the harlot. Here's your verse. Hebrews 11, verse 31. Please write it down. You've got it so you can refer back to it later. I'm going to use other scriptures straight out of the scriptures, out of the book of Joshua. But I want you to tune in to Hebrews 11, verse 31, because Ra'ob, or Rahab, has been written up in the hall of faith. She's in the hall of faith. People who were saved, redeemed out of where they were, and they accomplished something, and the legacy they leave behind with their lives is one of faith. Listen to the words. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Say it with me. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. What is legacy? something you tangibly leave to those who come behind. And I'm going to talk just briefly this morning about three legacies. Three legacies that you can leave that'll change lives for eternity. Number one, legacy living. Teach us, Lord, to number our days. Legacy living, Psalm 90, verse 12, out of the King James is the way I just quoted it, but here it is out of the Passion. Help us to remember that our days are numbered, and help us to interpret our lives correctly. We live sometimes with a forgetful attitude that we won't be here forever. Now, you especially do that when you're young, right? Anybody ever take chances when you were young? You might as well have invented the X Games. You know, I mean, man, I'm looking at my buddy Vern over there. He knows what I'm talking about, right? Go ask Vern about what life did he... No, I don't have to do that. No, but we all have lived lives in such a way that we needed to be redeemed. But when we're younger, we don't think about the long terms as much. We get older, we start realizing it. And the psalmist tells us it's wise for us to reckon on the fact that our days are numbered and we interpret our lives correctly. We have limited time, so with purpose and intent, we move into life and we pull. Listen, we of faith pull people into the future with us. We pull people, we draw people, we reach out to people and bring them into a faith-filled future with us. Are you excited to bring people into the future? What's Jesus doing today? What's he going to do tomorrow? I don't know, but I'm just going to walk with him and keep going and bring people with me. Amen? How many want to go on after Jesus? Whatever he's got, we want to do it. All right, nobody raised your hand. Okay, I'm closing. I believe we're all here and saying, Lord, take us on no matter what. We talked about breaking the tape last week. We talked about leaning forward in life and breaking the tape and running through the tape with all my passion, all my strength. I'm running after the Lord, and I want to bring people with me into Jesus. Now, therefore, since I've only got a limited amount of time, I want to find what his priorities are for me, and I want to live those priorities. Do you realize as you get older, there's a few of you, maybe just a couple of you who are getting older like me in the room. Do you realize that as you do so, some of the things you used to do kind of fall off? I don't have time to do all the things I used to do. I can't do all the things I used to do. God's calling me to a changed life, to reduce my focus from the broad stream to the river he wants me specifically in, running down the road and jumping in that river and swimming with all my might in the river Jesus has for me, because in the time that I have left, oh God, teach me how to number my days, interpret my life correctly, and help bring your people into the future. Now, Rahab's life, I'm going to tell you her story. Rahab's life was over. She knew Israel was getting ready to conquer the land. Israel had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They're getting ready to go into Jericho. Rahab lived basically in a house on the wall in Jericho. She knew her life was over because Israel was going to conquer that land. And she knew and believed, even though she wasn't of Israel, she believed the God of Israel would accomplish exactly what he said he would do. Her life was over unless she had faith in the God of Israel. And she put her total trust and belief in what God was going to do. The leaders of her nation didn't believe. The leaders of her city, they didn't believe. They didn't gather with her, but she was there. Rahab believed, and she, the Bible says, she welcomed the spies with peace. They sent spies. Joshua sent spies into the city. And those spies come across Rahab, the harlot's home, and she welcomed them with peace. Legacy living. We number our days. Number two, legacy loving. We give. We give. If you'd write down this section of Scripture, you can read it later at your own pace. with your scriptures, your Bible, and got New King James here. The section is Joshua 2, verses 9 through 13. I only have a couple of those verses up. I'll read that section to you. Joshua 2, 9 through 13. And he said to the men, or she said to the men, Rahab, I know that the Lord has given you the land. In the Hebrew, so you're aware, those of you who are familiar with Hebrew, that know is the word yada. That's an intimate knowing, a complete knowing. That's an intimate word that's used. I know in the depth of my knower that God is God and He is going to fulfill His word. He's going to do what He said He's going to do and you're going to conquer the land. I know it. I'm confident of it. And that's the way it is. And it goes on to say, and that the terror of you, Israel, has fallen on us. And that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted. Because of you. They know what's coming. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. How many remember Israel going through the Red Sea? The water dried up, separated when you came up out of Egypt. And what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, who you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, listen to her faith. She's a harlot. She's a Canaanite. She doesn't belong to the tribe of Israel. But listen to her statement of faith. The Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. She's making a stronger proclamation of faith than many people who say they're of faith make. She knows it in her knower. Watch this. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I've shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house. And give me a true token. And watch her heart. Spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Now, in the Old Testament, the reason these nations are being overrun, not only had he promised to Israel to give them this land, promised it to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, but the nations were filled with horrific sin against God. And God says, I'm giving you their land, and he will conquer these people. And so these people are going in by the promise of God. Israel's going in by the promise of God, and she says, I know you're going to conquer by the Lord's hand, spare us, spare my family. Can I just make a couple of simple points to you, and I hope this makes sense to you. I think it does. Can you tell me, what's her background? What is Rahab the harlot? There's a clue. What does she do? You don't have to go into details. What's she do? She's a harlot. What does Rahab the harlot do? Kevin, she's a... Okay. That's right, she's a prostitute. Now, there are some commentaries you will read, if you go into the depths and you mind this, some commentaries want to polish that up a little bit. And they will say that she was a hostess. The hostess with the mostess, there's Rahab. Anyway, they'll say she was a hostess. They'll say she was an innkeeper, she was a landlord. So all you stinking landlords, no. Anyway, so they say that she was a landlord. But if you research further, the Hebrew word for harlot, and it goes over to the New Testament, Hebrews 11, when it talks about Rahab the harlot, the New Testament Greek word for harlot, literally means she was a prostitute. Now, I want to ask you honestly, you don't have to shout it out, but honestly, how many of you think her parents were proud of her for a life's chosen decision? If you said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a prostitute. Ladies, how many think your dad and mom would probably say, go for it, kids, I'm behind you all the way. How many think that probably wouldn't happen? Of course not. And I'm playing it up vividly and strongly for a purpose. And that purpose is, you need to understand, this woman probably had as much division in her family, as much shame, as much contempt. They were treated with contempt in that day. And it, in the Old Testament, when the husband, if she'd had a husband, died, the woman was left to fend for herself. It was a horrible thing. You come along to Jesus and Paul's teaching in the New Testament, and it gets a bad rap as being a woman hater, but he elevated the place of ladies and said, we're to take care of the widows in the church. We're to take care of the wives and bless these families. But they were on their own, and they had to scrape out a way to make a living. But her family was ashamed of her. Probably rejected her. Probably didn't want a thing to do with her. You find it all day long if you listen to the news of people that have gone into meth and then had to go into prostitution or sex trafficking. I'm here to tell you one more time, sex trafficking is one of the blights and wicked blights of our nation, of our cities, of our country, and of our world. And it needs to stop in the name of Jesus Christ. And the people that are involved in sex trafficking, they ought to go to jail and throw the key away. And then we'll lead them to Jesus so they can renounce and repent of it. But I'm telling you, she probably had far even worse perspectives from her family than we can even imagine. Legacy living. Legacy loving. The first words out of her mouth to these spies were, won't you please save my family? Dad and mom and my brothers and sisters have probably thrown me away and thrown away the key and are too ashamed to even be known as mine or me with them. But won't you save my family? Come on, church. Don't you have somebody in your family you're praying for today? Brothers, sisters, some people who are nephews, nieces, grandparents. God, won't you save my family? And no matter how far Rahab the harlot was away from her family, she's begging them to save them and make them safe. And sometimes the only way the family that has rejected you will ever see that Jesus is real is if you keep reaching out with that kind of love and grace. You know, Pastor Kev, you don't know what my dad did to me. You don't know what my family did. No, I understand that. But the only way for you to get out of prison is to forgive. The only way for you to be released from the bondage is to forgive. We'll help you. We'll walk through that road with you if you need. It's horrible what happens. But Rahab, in her loving, wanted to give life to those who undoubtedly reject her. She couldn't force them. She couldn't coerce them. All she could do, now listen, was make room for them in her lives, in her life. I don't want anything to do with that person. I don't want anything to do with my family. All she could do was make room for them in her life. Verses 18 and 19 of Joshua 2, this is so powerful. The spies said back to her, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. Unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home, unless you bring them back into your life, and are you on your knees bringing them back into your life, saying, God, be with these people, save them. Won't you save my family? I bring them into my home, and I have a terrible time, Lord. They've rejected me. But, oh, God, I just repent of my own attitude toward them. Won't you save them, Lord Jesus? God, give them life. Save them by the scarlet throne, the cord, the blood of Jesus that will bring you salvation. You can climb up that cord. You can climb down that cord. You can get to safety by that cord. And I'm here to tell you that the scarlet cord is the blood of Jesus that saves you, redeems you, and gives you salvation. Can someone say amen? Amen. How many of you have climbed up or down the scarlet cord? You've been redeemed and washed clean by the blood of Jesus, and somebody reached out to you when it shouldn't have happened. But you got saved. She's living a legacy of loving. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, verse 19, his blood will be on his own head, will be guiltless. Whoever's with you in the house, his blood will be on your head, on our head, if a hand is laid on him. If they come into this house, and we come into this land to take over the land, if anything happens to them, it's on us. If they go out of this house, it's on them. The point being, people make their own choice what they do. But with every last breath, we should be pouring out our hearts of love and grace to people, saying, come on, come to the Jesus who can save you, just like he did me. I watched my wife, Pastor Sherry, pour her heart out to a person who had been our friend over and over and over again to try to bring her to Jesus. And she said, I don't want any part of this. And my wife looked at her with tears and said, I just want to stand in the way between you going to hell. Come to Jesus. But you can't force. But she, in an act of giving, said, okay, it's not just me, but I want my household to be saved. Does that match your heart this morning? Legacy living. Legacy loving. Rachel, or Rahab rather, didn't turn to her family and say, you guys have rejected me all my life. I'm not sharing this good stuff with you now. Are you kidding? No. She just gave out of love. Out her window and over the wall, the scarlet thread was spread. To your neighbors, to your family, to your city, your communities. Spread the scarlet thread. The threads spread. I'm saying it incorrectly. You understand, please. Spread the scarlet thread. Say that with me. Spread the scarlet thread. And then number three, legacy forgiving. Legacy living, legacy loving, and legacy forgiving. We release. We release. Joshua 6, verse 17. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction. I've already shared a little bit about that and why. And all who are in it. Please understand there is a heaven and there is a hell. Jesus extends his love and his mercy to you. Give your life to Jesus Christ. He loves you so much, he doesn't want you to go to hell. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for people. But if you reject him and want nothing to do with him in the gospel, hell is where eternity will be for some people. But Jesus says, there's a whole new way for you to live. Come to Jesus. It says, only Rahab the harlot, verse 17, Joshua 6, only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Now in the Hebrew, the word there, and I'm reading Joshua 6, verse 17, the Hebrew word accursed, that shall be accursed, is the Hebrew word that's definition is doomed. They are doomed. So it's about living. Come in, and all who live, all she and who live, shall live. They'll live. And that means to be kept alive, given promised life. Because she hid the spies in the Hebrew, that literally means she received them. She secreted them away. The messengers that were sent. In the New Testament, the sent out messengers were the apostles. The word apostle means to be a sent out one. She received the messengers of God to her life. You come to church, Pastor Sherry's a messenger, if you will, this morning. How many received the message she sent this morning? Ecstatic praise. Give an ecstatic praise to God. I pray you receive me as a messenger of the Lord to you this morning. Prophetic words. God speaking to his people. Hide the word. She hid the word. She hid the messengers. The Bible tells us to hide the word of God in our hearts. She received the word. And she received salvation. She received the spies. Ownership. When you give your life to Jesus, there's a whole lot of stuff nowadays you've got to be careful about. There's a whole stream of easy believism. All you got to do is one time in your life, pray a 30-second prayer, give your life to Jesus. Never walk with him. Don't worry about it. You prayed one prayer one time. That is not the Bible's teaching. The Bible teaching is it's total transfer of your life to Jesus Christ. Come on, I said a total transfer. Remember we talked about signing the bottom line last week? Break the tape? Remember the real estate document? Only it's all blank. He fills in the terms later. Says, sign right here, Kev. You go, okay. It's a total transfer of my life to his. And then I begin to understand what life is according to his word, according to what he wants. And salvation comes. And he says, come out of the world. Be separate. Live with me. Walk with me. I've got a whole life for you to live. And you got the scarlet cord to give you safety. And then there's a whole life to live. Now please hang in there with me for 5 minutes more, will you? Bob, say yes. Sure. Thank you. Okay, good. Just listen to the word of God. She put a scarlet cord in her window. It represents, if you will, the blood of Jesus. And she's making a statement to her community that the blood of Jesus is what I'm saved by. The scarlet cord is in my window. Is it in your window this morning? But the spies, or not the spies, but the soldiers of the country are looking for these spies. And they come to her house and they say, okay, give them up. Where are they? And she lies to them to save them. She says, they're on their way out. You know, go find them. They're gone from here. And they're hiding under the hay. She protects the word of God, the messengers, in her home. The enemy wants to steal away every bit of the word of God that comes into your heart. The truth of the scarlet cord. He wants to steal it from your life. And all of those kinds of things happen. But I just want to say one thing. When you transfer the ownership, that's where we were, when you transfer the ownership of your life to Jesus, the enemy gets awfully upset. Let's do away with this. Remember, there's certain kinds of soils in the Word of God and the Scripture. Jesus tells the parable. There's the rocky ground, fades right away. Shallow soil, little spring up, then the birds come and eat it. There's the thorns of this life. The word of God goes in, but the troubles of life choke it out. But if you have a heart that says, I receive it, I want your seed to come in, you're going to bear fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. How many want to bear 100-fold fruit? But there's that reception to the word of God that happens. Bring the messenger of God, his word. Bring it into the house with you. Don't be surprised when the world gets upset because you've transferred ownership of your life. Some people won't like it, but Jesus loves it. Look around and you got a whole bunch of people in the room that love it when you give your life to Jesus Christ. Bring them into the house with you. So she releases love to them. Now listen carefully to the rest of the scripture, Joshua 6, 22 to 25. But Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house. When they came time to come into the land, from there bring out the woman and all that she has as you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in, brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Listen carefully, verse 25. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. She was honored. She was received into a new family. When you give your life to Jesus, you are received into a new nation, a new family, the family of God. And then there's new ownership and new ways of thinking and the Word of God. You learn it and study and grow and you read and pray. But the Lord used Rahab to open the doors to a brand new beginning. And she is forever remembered in the hall of faith because she believed God. Enough to put the scarlet cord in her window as a mark of her belief. She loved, she lived, she loved, she forgave, she brought her family into the household with her. Now, what's interesting, by the way, just a quick understanding of the Word of God. When it first says they brought her out, she and her family were outside the camp. And then later, it says she was a part of the nation. Now, here's what the people that want to say she's not really a prostitute, she's a hostess, what they don't get. They don't like it that she's a harlot because she ends up in the lineage of Jesus. And do you know what the message of the heart of God the Father is to us when we realize she is exactly what the Word of God says? No matter how far down you get, no matter how far away you go, no matter what you do, how condemned you are, Jesus comes along and He says, I love you, you're mine, I forgive you, I'm putting you right into my family lineage and heritage. You're my family, Jesus says. By the scarlet cord. Come on, can somebody thank God? You're part of the family of God by the blood of Jesus. You go, Pastor Kev, I'm too far gone. You are never too far gone. Doesn't get much worse than being a harlot. You're never too far gone. So, when you give your life to Jesus, you're not known for what you were. You're known for all of eternity for who you are in Him and for who He is in you. Man one time told me that faith is like when you drop a pebble into a pond and its ripples go out for eternity. And when you say yes to Jesus, when you say, oh Jesus, I got the scarlet cord, I love you, I love the blood of Jesus, I want you. You just drop that pebble of your life into the pond, and the ripples of your life are going to spill over your children, over your grandchildren, over your friends and family. Even if people don't want to come to Jesus right away, they're going to see the fruit of your life. So I want to ask you this morning again, what is going to live beyond you? Do you believe in miracles? Last slide, please, Pat. Do you believe in miracles? Bunch of guys on some ice and a thin sliver of aluminum or whatever it is, skating around on hockey after a little black puck. Go into the history books as people who just wanted to play a game. And the miracle on ice took place. And 40 years later, as of yesterday, we're still celebrating it. I don't know if you remember what was happening in our country at that time. The great malaise had happened and interest rates for housing began to shoot up into the double digits. And you had a stalled economy and you had an embassy that was overrun and you had hostages and we were on the verge of going down, and then all of a sudden a miracle on ice takes place and you've got households all over a nation cheering. How could this be? Simple people who left a legacy. What are you leaving from your life? I want to encourage you, leave your legacy. Would you stand with me, please? Musicians, will you come? Pastor Sherry, will you come up? We've talked about breaking the tape last week. It's online. faithful team puts these online. Thanks, Dan and Roxanne and Vern and Olivitos for digital recording. And it's there. It's there so you can listen to it. And we've talked about leaning forward in life. I just want to urge you. Lean forward, break the tape, and leave a legacy as a man or woman who trusted Jesus with a scarlet throne or a scarlet cord and who gave their life and others followed behind and were saved forever. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are King of kings and Lord of lords. You're the one who shed your blood for us. Thank you, Lord, that with our lives as a church, as a congregation this morning, we say, Lord, I want to leave the right legacy. Is that in your heart, church? Can you say that with me? Yeah. Come on, pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I want to leave the right legacy. To my children and grandchildren. To my family and friends. Oh, Lord, even today, I commit myself in a fresh way to you. Now, if you're here this morning and you've not given your life to Jesus, just pray this prayer with me, and everybody can pray along. Lord Jesus, I come to you now. Just go ahead and pray this prayer. You are Lord, and I surrender my life to you. I transfer the ownership of my heart and life to you, Jesus. Save me from my sins. Forgive me, Lord. And right now, by faith, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I know I'm forgiven. And I thank you for that mercy. And now I know that I get to leave a legacy of faith. We trust you, Lord. And the Word of God says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I know what I'm doing, Jeremiah 29 says. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Now bless and release your people in joy and in life. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen.